Deb was always worried about what I would wear to church. She said I couldn't put things together very well, so I just called Gary and asked him what we're wearing. This morning I'm going to be reading from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first three verses of chapter 11 in Hebrews. And the title is, What is Faith? Probably had this title several times over the years because faith is very important, isn't it? Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 reads like this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for our faith. We thank you that you saw fit to give us a measure of it, and that you work within us to add to it, to grow it, to bring us to this place. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the ability to stand here this morning, to come this way. We thank you for each individual that's here this morning. Father, we all come from different places. We are all different people, but we all come to the same place. And it's not this place, Lord, it's you. For you are the only place that we can go. You're the only hope that we have. Our faith, Father, is in you this morning. How blessed we are. How blessed we are because of that truth, because we'll never be let down. You've promised never to leave, never to forsake. And Lord, what a promise it is. And we have faith and hope in that promise. We love you this morning, Lord Jesus. As we just sang, we love you. And we pray your love flow through this place this morning, that each and every one of us, Lord, I feel as though we already have, but that we would draw closer to you for it. Lord, walk amongst us this morning. Touch us, Lord, through your Spirit as only you can. Open our hearts and our minds to your truth, to who we are in you and how loved we are in you. And Lord, prepare us to be the vessels that you want us and appoint us to be, that we might, as Joe said, bring your truth to this world. Lord, it is for that purpose that we're here. As I understand your word, Lord, if everybody that whoever soever would did, we would go home. And Lord, keep us mindful of that, that there are people around us, lost people that need your truth, need to have their eyes opened, their hearts and minds open to your truth. And let that truth ring forth in us. Be lifted up in us. Be lifted up in this place today. As I said, you already have been. Continue to be lifted in this message, this messenger, in your body here in this place. And if there's someone that's outside of your grace, Lord, let them see. Let them see that we're no better, that we simply know better, that we've discovered something, and Lord, let us share it with them. And I ask all of this in your name. Have your way in this place and every activity that takes place here today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, faith is very important, isn't it? I hope it is. I hope that faith is very important to each one of us as Christians. But do you think that we as Christians, do you think that we give enough thought to our faith? I mean, if pressed, what would we say faith was? How would we define faith? The world thinks we're crazy, don't they? I used to be out there in the world. I know what they think. They think we're crazy. They really do. So I think it's important that we would have a definition in our hearts and our minds. If asked, what our faith is, what is faith? Would we proclaim it was the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? That's a really good definition. But is there enough substance and evidence of faith in our life to make that definition believable to the world around us. Because that's important too. It's very important. Do you think Christians in our society, do you think that they might take their faith for granted? Christians in this nation that we live in, this society that we're a part of? Do you think they might take that for granted? Maybe a better question. Do you think that maybe even we might sometimes take our faith for granted? You and I. As I was writing and preparing this week, we were planning that youth group that almost killed me. And I remember, as I was working on these notes, I got to wondering about that van. I got to wondering about whether the oil had been changed on it, or whether or not it was full of oil. I got to thinking about the tires. The tires are getting pretty old on it now. And I got to wondering if it even had a spare or a jack. Those are important things to think about, right? Just a day or two before you take 15 kids to Eureka, Missouri. I got to thinking about those things. And then I also had started to think that, unfortunately, if we'd be honest this morning, that's pretty close to how we are with our faith, isn't it? We don't give our faith a lot of thought until we get into a place or a situation where we need it. And when we get into that situation, then we truly understand its importance, don't we? We see its value and its worth then, don't we? Jacks are important when you're driving cars. Spare tires are important. But if you don't ever have a flat or a blowout, you don't give them much thought, do you? But when you do, believe me, they're important. All I could think about was 114 degrees on the side of the road, and I checked the spare and it's flat or something. That's what I kept thinking about. And that's how we are with our faith as well. We don't give faith a lot of thought until we're in a situation where faith is needed. And then we really understand faith's importance, don't we? We understand its worth. Certainly as Christians, I would hope, we all know and have been told of faith's importance. 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of thee is love. Faith and hope and love are the foundations, the building blocks, if you will, of Christianity. Faith, hope, and love. Paul said love was the greatest, and I think we'd have to agree, because without love, Christianity wouldn't exist. Because it was love that sent Christ, right? For God so loved the world. So without love, love is... I think sometimes we miss that as Christians. I think sometimes as Christians we... And I've said this many times, and I always make that joke about the Christian underwear, the Christian haircut. But I think many times that's what we try to do. We try to become Christians. Because we want to do right, right? We want to make Christ happy. We want people to see Christ in us. That's why I say all the time, the only thing Christian about us is Christ in us. What we need to work on is that, Christ in us. Because the truth is, love is the most important, because if we love people the way he loves us, they'll see Jesus Christ. If our motive is just to love the way we are loved, if we understand grace and faith in that fashion, then people will see Jesus Christ. Now, you can't manufacture that. Don't think Pastor Bob's telling you to go out and just be happy and love people. I'm not. You have to do it with the understanding. You have to prepare beforehand, because it's prepared within us. Christ prepares us to be that vessel to share his love. And if it's not genuine, then it's simply not genuine, and they'll see it. But if it is genuine, they can't miss it. They cannot miss it. And Jesus will be lifted up in it, and they will be drawn unto him. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? If it were only so, huh? I don't know about you, but this vessel's got some problems. You know, the one aspect that I loved about Six Flags yesterday is because I love to watch people. I probably told Michael that two or three times. I wanted to bring out our picture, and I forgot it, Mike. I'm sorry. We had a caricature drawn of us. We looked like twins. The girl, bless her heart, she couldn't draw. We look like the same guy. Just one's got a goatee and one doesn't. But I enjoyed watching those people as they walk by. It's amazing to me that we're all human beings, and in that respect are all the same, but how different we are. We are so, so, so different. And I love that part of it. I love it. But people will know. People will know if we're faking it. People will know. Love is the most important, the greatest of these, because love is what causes people to see us. But we should also understand and even agree that faith and hope are also some very important foundational aspects of Christianity, aren't they? Love is how they see Christ in us. They'll see his love within us. But hope and faith are important just as well. They are foundational tools. I mean, faith is what we stand by, right? Faith is how we stand, right? Without faith, we cannot stand. Hope is what we cling to, right? We cling to the hope that we have in Christ. Our understanding of his love is what separates us and sets us apart from those who are lost. I thought about that often yesterday. I wonder if these people can see his love in me today, because I'm afraid maybe they couldn't. It was hot. And some of those people were pretty silly. I mean, some of them didn't have their pants all the way up. They always wear them checkered underwear, don't they? One guy had on, looked like pajama bottoms. I don't know how. He had big old boots on, too. But there was. Oh, we saw Snoop Dogg. We saw everybody yesterday. And I wondered about that. Can these people see any difference in me? Can they? I tried to just allow Christ to guide me, you know? I would always smile, even though I didn't feel like it. You know, I would try to let people know that I loved them. And not all of them were lovable. Some of them were pretty arrogant acting and very unlovable. But, you know, I didn't say anything. I didn't slap nobody. And it was hot. I could have. But I wondered about that. I wondered if they could see it. I pray and I hope they could. But in truth, that's the only way they could, through hope and prayers, right? If he's not there, he won't be seen. He will not. Faith is what we stand by. Hope is what we cling to. Understanding his love is what separates and sets us apart from those who are lost. Faith, hope, and love are probably have been interwoven into every message that I've ever preached. At least I hope they have. But for this morning's sake, I'm going to try to endeavor to focus simply on faith. What is faith? And do we truly know or fully understand faith's importance to our Christian walk, to our Christian existence, mission, if you will, why we're here? We have any doubts about faith's importance, we could look just five verses down here, Hebrews 11. I really believe they would be removed, because the writer of Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please him being God. He went on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. If God tells us that faith is what we need to please him, and he just did in Hebrews 11:6, then we need to be certain we understand that faith is important, right? Very important. It follows that if faith is important to God, then it should also be important to us. It should be important for us to understand, and it should be important for us to comprehend exactly what faith is, right? Hebrews 11:6 also said, he who comes to God must believe that he is, didn't it? So then faith is believing that God the Father, Son, and Spirit exists, right? Believe that he is. What did Paul and Silas tell the Philippian jailer when he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Acts 16:30 and 31a and 30a and 31a. I am sorry. My brain is still boiling. But that's what he told them. Now, before we move on, Paul wasn't telling them, if you get saved, everybody in your house will be saved. Let me even say that differently. Paul didn't tell them, if you be saved, everybody in your house is saved. Right? Sometimes people will jump on that verse of Scripture and say that. But if you're following Christ, if Christ is Lord of your life, if you're allowing him to work within your life, to make those changes within your life that we all need to have made, Christ is going to be lifted up. And your household, the people that you love, are going to see the reality of Christ. That's all they need to see. That's all the world around us needs to see. As I said earlier, that's so simple, and yet we make it so difficult. But it is, that is the simple truth. All people need to see is Jesus Christ. What makes the difference in our life? Jesus in us, right? What makes the difference when it's dark? His presence, right? His presence changes everything. His presence will change our household. It will. That's what Paul's saying there. Paul also said that God's righteousness is imputed on and to all who believe through faith. And it's very, what a blessing that it is, because there is nothing righteous about me. And I don't know for sure, but there's probably nothing righteous about you. You're probably just as big a sinner as what I am. So how cool is it that his righteousness is imputed onto us for believing? He said that in Romans 3, 22 and 23. He said, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference. Guys, that's why we're going to heaven. Because of what Jesus Christ did and what he's doing in us. If we know Christ is our Savior, we are going to heaven. It's that simple. That's the only way you're going. He told us that too, didn't he? The only way to the Father is through the Son. The only way. John also spoke of believing in 1 John 5:1, where he said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So then, would we say that believing Jesus Christ exists equals God-pleasing or saving faith? Yes and no. Both sides. Might be a good time to promote our Bible study that takes place every Wednesday evening. Also promote the importance of studying to show ourselves approved. It's important that we study God's Word. It's important that we study God's Word corporately, together, because then we can ask questions, then we can help and guide each other to grow into the vessels that he's called us. It's important that we have his Word in us, because things are going to happen to us. And you need to be able to reach into your heart and your mind and pull that from memory and from study. That's why Scripture tells us that it's so important. It's important that we study to show ourselves approved. My old buddy James has something to say about faith and believing too. And if we study to show ourselves approved, we would have read it and we would have understood. Believing Jesus exists equals God-pleasing, God-saving faith. And it doesn't. James said, you believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? James 2, 19 and 20. So faith is more than simply believing. Faith is belief in action. Right? It's easy to come here every Sunday. You can come here every time the door is open. Just like I've told you before, standing in a garage won't make you a car. Coming to this building won't make you a Christian. It won't. You can sleep in the garage if you want to. You're still not going to be a car. You're going to be a silly person sleeping in a hot garage. Coming here won't make you a Christian. A relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior is the only thing that makes you a Christian. The only thing. James said, oh, foolish man, faith without works is dead. Faith is more than believing.
Faith is belief in action. And in truth, that's what the writer of Hebrews said too, because he said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Certainly, it's easy to see the action and diligently seek, isn't it? But also, there's action in must believe. Must believe. Because there are times, I can testify, that it's hard to believe. It's easy to believe if you're walking through a rose garden, I guess. I was going to say the yellow brick road, but I don't think that works right because there was a place there where they fell asleep, right? But if you're walking through a rose garden, everything around you is perfect. You got saved. God blessed your life. Everything's working out. Everything's falling in place. Pretty easy to believe, isn't it? But what about when there is no rose garden? What about when you have that blowout and it's 114 degrees? What about then? Must believe also infers action on our part. So then here's another question, and I'm going to warn you beforehand. It's a hard question. But I'm also going to say, please understand, it is for every one of us, myself included, every one of us. If we, as in you and me, if we understand everything we've discussed about faith so far, then do our lives give credence to our understanding? In other words, is there enough action and belief or sufficient substance and evidence in our lives to support our claimed faith in our God, in our Savior, Jesus Christ? I still think our issue is in fully understanding or comprehending what faith really is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can't we see how that aligns with what James said as well? Let's look at what he said just before that revelation about the demons believing. James said, and this was some of the first scripture I ever preached on, from some of the same scripture. James said, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And that's James 2, 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith that does not have works? Can faith save him? What's James saying? Of course. Faith can save us, right? Faith saves us, right? My understanding of what James is saying, and you can tell me afterwards if you have another, and that's fine, it can be summed up with one question. Is faith just a word? Of course, faith is a word, right? It's a word. But if it is just a word to us, is it really faith within us? Like I said, it's easy when you're walking through that rose garden to walk around and banner the word faith about God's graciousness and his blessings upon you, and everything is wonderful. But faith is just as real when the lights go out, when the tire blows. In truth, probably more real, isn't it? Because at that time, faith becomes more than a word. It becomes more than something you proclaim. It becomes something that you stand on, something that you walk by, something that you hold on to, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God-fearing, now we don't hear much about that anymore, but it still exists, believe me. God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-following faith has substance and it has evidence. If the substance and the evidence aren't there, then in truth, neither is the faith. Kind of where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? That tire is either going to carry you to Eureka and back safely or it's not, right? You don't know until you go, do you? You don't. You pray along the way. You wonder how silly you were to come. But you don't know until you go. Until you're in that place where you're relying upon that faith, you don't truly know, do you? Am I saying that Christians are faithful Christians? Let's say it that way. Am I saying that they never stumble, that they never falter, or they never have any doubts? No, I am not. And let me add, Lord, I pray and I hope that I am not. Because I'd hate to count the number of times in the last 2.5 years that I've struggled, that I've stumbled, that I've faltered, that I've doubted. I'm saying being faithful for the Christian means they know where their true source of strength resides. That's all I'm saying. No matter what their circumstances are, no matter the depth of their valley or the fear with which the enemy tries to overcome them, no matter, they will not let go. Not let go of the faith and the hope and the love that they have found in Jesus Christ. My reference Bible says that an alternate or equivalent translation for substance and evidence in Hebrews 11:1 could be realization and confidence. So if we were to insert those translations into Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:1 might read, "Now faith is the realization of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen." One of my commentaries proclaims that Hebrews 11:1 isn't so much a definition, but it's a description of faith. I kind of think that might be trying to split hairs myself. But it did make me wonder, does it describe mine? And I would ask that it would make you wonder as well. Does it describe yours? Could we put our name in front of Hebrews 11:1 and would it ring as true? Now, Bob's faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for. You can insert your name. The evidence or the confidence of things not seen. I don't know how well my name fits, but I would just ask, does yours fit any better? What does or what would describe our faith? And if we put our name in there, would it describe our faith? Or does it describe our faith? Again this morning, what is faith? Is it a word? Is it a word that we use here more than we use at home? We tend to do that as Christians, don't we? We tend to become more Christian when we get to church. We do that. Mark Twain said that faith is believing what you know ain't so. I love Mark Twain. Apostle Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight," 2 Corinthians 5:7. So then, is faith simply following blindly after something we really don't believe? Well, I hope not. Would the writer of Hebrews have spoken of substance and evidence if it was? Remember I said earlier I thought that the issue with our faith was still not fully understanding or comprehending exactly what faith is? Here's something about faith we might not have understood or comprehended. Faith doesn't simply require something from us, though faith does require something from us, right? It does. Sometimes you walk into a, a room that's completely black, and it requires us to take that step, right, into that blackness. Because we have faith that our Savior is going to make a place for our foot to fall, right? It does require something from us. It does. I've lost my place. But faith also produces something in us. It requires something from us, but it produces something in us, doesn't it? What does faith do in our life? It changes our life. What does faith do to us? It changes us. There's only one way we'll ever become the vessel that Christ has approved or appointed us to be. That is through faith. That's the only way we'll ever please God. And it's enough. Because in truth, it is all that he asked from us. He said simply, "You follow me." Jesus Christ has done all the heavy lifting, things that you and I could not do, that we could be reunited with God the Father, that we might one day stand before a holy, completely holy, righteous God, the only one there is, and hear, "Come on in. Enter in, thy good and faithful." Not because we are, but because he is, and our faith is in him. Faith requires something from us, but faith does so much more for us if we will but put it forward. Just put it forward. Hebrews 11:2, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Through faith, they obtained a good testimony. Their life made a difference in the world around them through faith. That is the only way my life is going to make a difference in the world around me. That is the only hope I have of my household coming to Christ. The only. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." I had a friend. He was very instrumental in helping me to get started in nursing home ministry years ago. I've probably talked about him before. I can't believe I wouldn't have. His name was Al Ward. Very dear old preaching partner of mine, I guess, when I first started out. He since went on to his heavenly reward. And kind of like me, and kind of like I have verses that seem to be my go-to or my favorite, or I bring up over and over again. I think all preachers probably do that to some degree. He used to always quote from Psalms 34:8. I can remember, I don't know how many times I've heard him say it, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." That verse of Scripture is telling us that if we'll put forth that ounce of faith, we'll see. He'll show up. He'll instill, he'll change us. He'll arrive in our life and he'll use our life to make a difference. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." For faith produces something in us, doesn't it? It produces something that the world cannot overcome. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Did we see that the first couple of times I read it? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. How important is faith? "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Romans 5:1-2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is something we miss. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift." A gift of God. "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Even even our ability to believe comes from Him. He requires action. He requires that we come to Him. He's done everything. We've talked about it in the last few weeks. He's done everything that needed to be done for every one of us to know Him as our Savior. Every one of us. Not a person on this planet has to spend an eternity in hell. Do we understand that? Not a person on the planet has to spend an eternity in hell. He's done everything necessary. He requires something from us. He requires that we come to Him. That we understand that He is there, that we believe, that we have faith in Him. Now, there are different levels of that, aren't there? But as I've said so much in the last few weeks, it's the same surrender. It's the same letting go of our own understanding. It's the same of not allowing the world around us to keep us from trusting Him for it. Because the truth is, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is. He's the Savior of the world. He came that we might all go free. That's the truth, whether we believe it or not. It doesn't change it. He only asked that we believe it, that we put forth that ounce. Taste and see if He's good. I share a little testimony as I close. I've thought about this a lot in the last week or so, because the last 2 weeks have been very hard, very dark. I'm blessed beyond the world's comprehension. I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be your pastor. I am. Last thing I would have ever wanted to do, right there next to preaching. But I am blessed for both of them. Some of the happiest times of Deb and mine life has been spent here with you guys. And as dark as the last few months and weeks have been, there have been blessings too, even in those. One of those blessings has been preparing these messages. I thought about it a great deal this week. Because as I prepare these messages in turn prepare me. I hope you guys are getting as much out of them as I am. I do. That's my prayer. Because as I'm preparing them, I'm here by myself. Most of the church is dark. But sometimes I'm having church back there. Most times I cry. Sometimes I shout. And you're blessed because you're not here, because sometimes I sing. I do. I have church back there in that office by myself. And it's a blessing because as I prepare these messages, they truly do prepare me. And I thank God for that because it's such a blessing. Such a blessing. Because everything I've said here in this sermon is true. And I will testify to you this morning that it might be more applicable to me than it is you. I don't know. But I know it's applicable to all of us. We're all in different places. As I said earlier, we all come and we're all different people. Oh my gosh, there's so many different people. You should have been there and seen all those different people, right, Mike? I took a little pride because some of them were a lot younger than me and some of them were about to fall out. And here's this old guy still hanging in there. Not hanging very hard, but hanging in the shade most of the time. I don't know how I got burnt. But we all need to come to the same place. Because in truth, we're all in the same place. There's not one person, and you're, as far as I know, you're all wonderful, God-loving people. But there's not one of us here this morning that's going to make it to heaven by ourselves. We're all going to go exactly the same way, and that is through Jesus Christ. And our faith in Him. And there are different aspects of that. Different things happen in our lives. We've got a promise that He'll not let more come upon us than what we can stand, right? I don't know how many times I've been in hospital rooms. I've heard people say, I wish Jesus didn't think I was this tough. We all feel that way sometimes, don't we? But it's in those times that faith becomes more than a word. And we begin to understand that faith it's an anchor. It's a ladder that we can climb up out of things. It helps us overcome because through faith, Jesus shows up. And we get to taste and see that He's good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. So true. These messages prepare me as much as I prepare them, or the Holy Spirit prepares them through me. I cannot pretend to know why the events of the last 2.5 years have taken place. I won't pretend to tell you that I can handle them, because I can't. But I can tell you that my Lord is still on his throne. He has not changed. He is still the Lord of Lords. He's still the King of Kings. I can also assure you, and I continue to assure you, and even remind myself, that if we will but put forth that mustard seed of faith, he will show up. And I can assure you this too. When he shows up, and he will, it's going to be okay. No matter what. No matter what, it's going to be okay. So what is faith? Faith is a substance. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand, and I could just leave it there, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith is what, it's where, when, how, and why you and I come to understand. Faith is how we do it. If Jesus can make everything out of nothing, then nothing can stop him from fulfilling his will and his purpose in us. Faith is how we come to understand that. Faith is how we come to walk in that. If he can make everything out of nothing, and he did, he can make something out of us, each one of us. There's a purpose in each one of our lives in Jesus Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. I pray and trust that you do as well. We have a song of invitation. God's Spirit has spoke to your heart, and that's exactly what the song is. It's an invite. It's an invite to come up here to this altar and answer whatever he's placed upon your heart. Whatever. I don't know what it is. I know what's on mine. I know the darkness and the areas that try to creep into mine. Yours are different, but they're there. Faith will overcome them. Christ will overcome them. He has. He only asks that we draw closer through faith. Would you all stand, please?